up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 13.7, A Woolly Chamath, where we are covering the novel Deadbeat. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Our house, in the middle of our street, our house.
And we are reading Deadbeat.
Hey!
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 7. Harry leaves Butters at his apartment to go to Bach-ordered books to investigate a book called Die Lied der Erlking. Harry finds a copy of the book, but when he's about to leave the store, he is confronted by two hooded figures. Harry takes Butters back to his place behind Lock and Ward.
Holy crap, you have a pony!
Half chow and half woolly mammoth. A woolly chamath.
Yeah. Represent mouse.
Right?
It's a cute moment.
Can I pet him? Yeah, but he will never leave you alone again. Yeah.
Does he bite? Only bad guys. It seems subjective.
So don't get on his bad side.
So he's like, yeah, I'm just going to leave you here. Be back in a bit. He's like, you're leaving? You'll be fine. Yeah, okay, but, you know, that's okay. I got spells. Like, Gravain won't be able to find you. Okay, but what if he does? No, he won't. Okay, yeah, sure. I believe you. But what if he does? I gotta kind of say, I'm sort of with you here, Butters. Like, sure, I mean, Harry is all like, yeah, it's fine. I just told you all the scary shit now. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that our side of it is fine here. But yeah, I want a little reassurance here. Like,
and I'll leave a note for the babysitter.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Thomas will be here soon. Who the fuck is Thomas? My roommate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about that.
And that's weird. Like, yeah, sure, rent can be expensive, but like, if my wizard had a roommate, I'd be like, bro, come on.
I mean,
where's your tower, first of all?
It's an inverse tower.
right. Maybe this is okay, like, because Butter's known him. I mean, he may not know specifically where he lived, but, you know, maybe he's heard Murphy mention his dreary little sub-basement, you know, dank hole or something. I don't know.
It is very hovel-like.
His hovel, yeah. But, I mean, you know, in all fairness, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is just me and some of my friends and life experiences, but I you know, it could be very much exactly what it is. Dude just needed a place to crash for a while, and I'm letting him stay here. Because it's obvious, I mean, like you say, it's barely big enough for Harry, let alone a roommate. There's obviously no second bedroom, little, like you say, there's not even a double bed to share, like, you know. So, I mean, you know, maybe people are just like, all right, yeah, it's cool. This is obviously not like a permanent situation.
We haven't hit the housing crisis yet, I don't think, in this part.
I don't know. Well,
I mean, it's not 2008 yet, but it's, you know, it became a housing crisis because things were on the decline.
Right. I mean, yeah, you would think if this was two men sharing this teeny, tiny, weeny apartment, but yeah. But yeah, Butters just kind of takes that part in stride. He's like, whatever.
So, really awesome part here is that he's like, well, why are you leaving? What are you going to go do? And he's like, I'm going to go to a bookstore. Gravain was reading some book called Die Lied der Erlking.
Die Lied der Erlking.
That's what I said.
The Song of the Erl King.
And
Elf King.
I do really like this. In all of that, with threats and guns and zombies and everything, you notice the title of the book he was holding? Damn, I'm good.
Right.
Love you, Harry.
Yeah.
And I do like these, like, yes, I am a private investigator, okay, bitch? That right. is my job.
So Barry's like, what am I going to do? And he's like, sleep. He's like, I've got all these nifty books. And you'll have mouse. Oh, yeah, and by the way.
Don't open the door. Just don't. Bad idea.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, no. Seriously, Butters. Just no. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Meant to keep people out. Backlash. Have you seen Backdraft? Okay, think of that. Mm-hmm. And again, he's like, oh, yeah. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, no. Yeah.
What part of me makes you think I'm always telling jokes, Butters?
Right? When I said you'll be safe, even if he finds you, it's set to go boom if he tries to come in. Unfortunately, that means it could take you out, too. So you know what? Don't answer my door.
He mentions in the note, bad guys from my side of the town, my side of the block, whatever, are after the little guy. Protect him. Keep him safe. Whatever. And the phrasing of that, were Butters to read this note, would make it seem like Thomas is not involved in the supernatural at all. It's like, all right, guys from my side of the block are after the little guy. And surely enough, that's indicating that Thomas knows what's up, but that Thomas is not necessarily a part of it or supernatural in his own way. And I understand not telling Butters that he's a vampire, because he might not be so comfortable sitting in this house waiting for a vampire to show up to come and babysit him. But it also, at the same time, seems a little bit like, okay, Harry, are we being honest now or not? Like, it just seems so funny to be like, okay, if you're gonna let him in on the no, maybe tell him a vampire's coming home.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe just because it doesn't say our end. I'm like, I guess I didn't read it as specifically.
I mean, that. Bad guys from my end of the block could be very specifically wizards, bad wizards. But also, from Butter's point of view, it would just seem supernatural.
Yeah. And I get that. I get just the supernatural. But like I say, I'm saying I don't necessarily see that it automatically, like, excludes just because he says from my end of the block, meaning that Thomas is not from, you know what I mean? Just because he didn't say our end of the block or whatever, you know. Just,
he's talking to Thomas right now, not talking to Butters. So it seems to be like, hey, Thomas, black magic's afoot.
I don't know. To me, it feels like that is what he's saying. It feels to me just the way that Harry would. Understatement and all of that, you know. That he's like, oh, yeah, bad guy's from my end of the block. Trying to kill him. Keep an eye on him. You know, like, I don't know. To me, that says enough of what it is. Like, obviously, there's supernatural shit coming down, but
which seems to me in a note that Butters will most likely read,
I guess,
before it gets handed off to Thomas. It seems a little bit.
But Butters is also, you know, very polite. And I mean, you know, he could very well just not read that note.
I would read that note immediately.
Just sit awkwardly on the couch and just be
but
like, oh my
he's
God.
He's also kind of freaked the fuck out, too. So, you know, you might not. Like, maybe under normal circumstances you would, but really he might not. So, no, just because you're an insufferable Snoop, Jessica, does not mean that.
You get kidnapped by a wizard, you're not reading everything in this apartment.
But yeah, he doesn't say a whole lot other than, like, he's smart and fairly tough. But yeah, you'd think he would at least be like, he knows what's up, like, don't worry, he's clued in or whatever, even if you don't want to say what type or that he is supernatural or whatever. But he's got a talisman, he'll be in fine. Don't open the door for anyone or anything, just none of yourself. And he's like, what if the dog needs to go? Like, well, for one, that's why I'm going to take him out right now. For two, he can't possibly do worse than Thomas has been doing. Which, in all fairness, I think that still would be slightly worse, even than, like, messed up spaghetti plates. But fair enough. I take his point.
I'm a bit surprised that he does leave him. Like, that's just
okay, I
a
understand.
Little overly confident, I think.
I understand how Butters could be a liability to keep dragging him around town, especially when he's as scared as he is. It's like he doesn't want to be running errands. But at the same time, yeah, like, what was Harry supposed to do? Just hang out with this guy? Like, he's useless to Harry, okay? He's not supernaturally inclined. He doesn't know anything. He can't do anything.
It's not even just that he's not, you know, trained and, like, backup in any way, but I'm like, he's the actual target, too.
Yeah.
So, again, right? It's not even just like, oh, and, like, people will specifically be coming after. So, yes, it puts him that. It's not just like, maybe we'll get mugged walking down this New York alley. It's like, we will absolutely get mugged if anybody gets a chance to. Right. So I do see it that way. I think it's just, you're right. There's a little bit of that, like, wait, what? Because we're not used to Harry just, like, tucking people away and then leaving, right? It's usually, yeah, stay with me and I'll keep an eye on you. But at the same time, like, I think that speaks, you know, Harry's like, my wards are, like, one, I'm sure, you know, I'm confident that my anti-tracking spells, he's not even going to know where you are. And two, if anybody does show up on the doorstep, dude, I'm telling you. Boom. I would definitely, I think, be more nervous in Butters' case, not yet having confidence or knowledge in those things, like literally just having Harry's word that.
I would be afraid to snoop just because it's a wizard's place.
Oh, see,
and,
there
like,
you
anything
go.
Anything here could blow up. But at the same time, like, yeah, like if you're going to be locked in here all by yourself, it's the only thing you have to do is snoop.
Yeah.
Like, and you're so afraid, you might as well try and learn something.
I guess. But yeah, but see, that's right there is even that catch 22, right? He would be too afraid to mess with anything because it's wizardy stuff and you don't know what might do what. At the same time, you're like, I don't believe that nobody can just walk in here because it's a door. So anybody could just walk in here.
He's probably not even strong enough to open the door.
not if it's still sticking.
Slam yourself against it.
Yeah, so Dresden walks Mouse and then heads to book ordered books.
Bock. Yes.
Bock. Such an awkward title for a store. Bock ordered books.
Oldest occult shop in Chicago.
Yes. The proprietor of Artemis Bock.
Artemis Bock.
Cool name, though. Artemis,
right?
Mm-hmm. So Harry parks in a questionable location that is close by. He makes a presentation of holstering his gun and heads to the shop with the staff. And
yeah, walk like you want to murder. Yeah.
Right,
passes
right.
Passes a few rougher locals and that he figures are probably going to be dead by morning.
Great.
Yeah.
Ooh, awesome.
Sucks to be those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep going, though.
Right.
I got shit to do.
A little bit the same sort of McAnally situation here. Everyone is aware of it, and it is a little bit more useful to some than others, but the front of the shop is a little bit more just like, your everyday occult, you want to buy some crystals and some tarot cards? Sure, have what you want. But the people who can really use it, this is a gold mine for information and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And apparently Bach has some restricted section that gets culled or surveyed by the wardens every now and again to make sure it's not too bad.
The cage.
Mm-hmm. The cage.
Yeah. It's like, very Harry Potter in the restricted section. Like, yeah, we right? have these books, but you better, we're not sure that you should be allowed to read them and look at them and whatnot.
Right. Even a little bit like Doctor Strange when Wong was the librarian with that like restricted section too.
Yep.
But he obviously is, well, I kind of like to tell you, because I mean, like you say, so he's sort of been saying the whole time, he's in this kind of half and half between like the bad neighborhood, but it's also on the edge of campus. So it's kind of like not so good, but also like a bunch of smarty pantses and the whole kind of, right? But it's like, yeah, you come in and Bach's like looking at him, you know, he's got one hand on the counter and like one hand under the counter until he sees who it is. And then he's all like, oh yeah, hey, Harry. You know, you're like, okay, like okay. Again, right? You're like, this is not just your mild-mannered, everyday sort of bookstore.
It's very much Mac, too, though. He's got his shotgun strategically placed throughout the bar, so no matter where he's working, he's got one handy and ready. And
yeah, right? So, again, right? You're like, yeah, how much for the supernatural psychos and how much just for the regular human psychos? Yeah. And, right, he's in this very, kind of... But yeah, and then he mentions that Will has been by. Like, right away, he's kind of like, there's something up.
I was a little bit surprised that he recognizes Harry.
Awesome.
Knows who he is, but he assumes that he's a warden.
Nope.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
He's like, we've done the inspection. Like,
Yeah, he's like, the wardens have already been by. I don't think he assumes Harry is. I think he knows pretty much for, again, like Mac is the way that he say, he is the supernatural occult, so obviously Harry is here frequently for his... you know, research or supplies type of whatever. I think it's just in general that I think this is more part of Harry's developing reputation that the wardens can't be there 24/7 and you don't have sort of a local, right? Like Morgan was there frequently when he was, you know, constantly dogging his heels.
I guess, right.
I think it's more just in general that he knows that Harry is, you know, got some status, whether that's purely from ability or his position, you know, the fact that he does belong to the council and that he could run and tattle if it, you know, like, again, Harry's very much these last few years laying down that this is my town, I keep my town safe, so I'm going to make sure that you're, right, is, yeah.
Right, and as much as the ward, or as much as the council doesn't like Harry, they're not going around telling everybody that we don't like him, so as far as everyone on the outskirts should know, he's
that's
one
true.
Of them.
Yeah, that's okay. True, too, yeah, you're right, because, yeah, they're not going to be like, oh, we have this guy that we're, like, scared of and keeps fucking around with us and we can't go, yeah, exactly, right, they're going to save face and
exactly.
Just, you know.
As far as everyone's concerned, he's one of them and that's it. The infighting is the infighting. But
yes.
And obviously, to a certain degree, obviously, some supernaturals who are higher up know you all think Harry Dresden's a little shit. But the mundane supernatural, as far as they're concerned, Harry's one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's more just that case. Just that, like, all of a sudden shit's going on and all of a sudden the only wizard private investigator.
I had a warden and then I had an alpha and now I've got Harry coming into my shop. What the fuck is up?
Yeah, right. So,
yeah. So,
yeah, I think it's just, nicer way to sort of reference that and indicate sort of that stuff's going on without having to have.
And again, this is the first time Harry comes to the shop in the books, but you can glean that he's obviously been a customer before, given the fact that he knows Box, and secondly,
Box knows him.
Well, that too, but even if Box didn't know him as well if you'd only seen him once or twice as a customer. Surely, you know, 6 years into some crazy shit, plus the extra 2 or 3 years before it was even worth writing a novel about.
Yeah.
He's done some shit that would have gotten around the community.
Yeah, especially even like he says, because even when he's kind of like, oh, hey, there's some stuff going on, right? Because he's like, I need to get into it. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, word on the street. So Harry goes through his little thing, right? Gives us our little backstory. He explains to us who Billy Borden is and his little pack of alphas and all that. But right there, he's right. Like, shit travels fast. You know, like, barely anything has even gone down yet. I don't even know what's going on yet. I've barely been approached by anything, but already there's whispers, there's things, there's, right? So, yeah, I think, like,
dark business is afoot.
Dark business is afoot.
God, it's not a ham.
I mean, what? How far into this are we? Harry came home from the apartment and met up with Murphy, and then had to go meet up at his graveyard later that night.
Yeah.
And then
came home and talked to Bob.
And then, like, he never slept, right?
Yeah, I don't think he slept.
He talked to Bob, and then he was instantly back out again because he wanted to talk to Butters and be like, hey, man, like, who's on your morb slab? Well, that's still tonight. Like, he met with Maverick, like, 6 hours ago. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's not, like, a day to spread. Yeah, there's a lot of shit that's gone down within a few hours. So, yeah, just because it's becoming to him. But, like you say, obviously, there's some players that have been moving around. But I do kind of like, though, it's a nice little recap of Billy and them. You know, he's like a bunch of them that learned how to shapeshift and like keep their zone, right? Like, it's like Harry is like, Chicago is my town. The alphas are like, okay, the university is our, you know, like, we can't cover the whole thing, we're not, you know, badass enough or whatever, but he's like, this is our neighborhood and we keep it, you know.
Well, to be fair,
campus security,
yeah,
if the alphas are kind of, yeah, like the neighborhood watch, the campus security or something like that, you know, Harry's kind of like, Chicago's my place, metaphorically speaking. He doesn't really do that good of a job of, like, patrolling it very often and keeping it safe. He's more of the aftermath of, like, okay, a crime has been committed here. Now I'm going to fucking
or,
solve it
again,
and go after
just
the bad guys,
the
right?
Really, really big stuff. Yeah, he's not handling the day-to-day vampire abductions.
Right.
And
even SI is picking up on the really low-level shit that they can do, right? The alphas are picking up. Like, they're a little bit more here for prevention.
Harry's just boss level. Yeah, right. They're all the Koopas and the
alphas are in prevention level, trying to stop it before it happens. Because Harry's doesn't have that kind of manpower.
No, but I like here that he says, you know, right, that he's like, yeah, they are just kind of, you know, whatever, but he's like, but they do a good enough job that basically the vamps and the werewolves or whatever hunt somewhere, right? He's like, yeah, they're not, because he's like, I don't want to get them involved in this, this is above their pay grade, they're not on this level. But don't get me wrong, they do enough of a good job of, like you say, being the neighborhood watch, that the majority,
it's a deterrent here.
It's a deterrent, and yeah, exactly,
it's like, not worth the fight.
Yeah, most of them are like, oh, I probably could, but again, working together as that little group of them, they're badass enough that exactly they're like, no, we are doing what we can where we can.
I'm just so proud of the elf.
Right?
No, you come from a book like Full Moon, which is, you know, Butcher's early work, and it wasn't quite there yet, and it wasn't as scattered. But, and that kind of extends to just how, you know, weak or low level the alphas were to now, where it's like the novels have evolved, you guys have evolved.
Well, exactly.
You're so good.
Right.
You've been here almost since the beginning.
You know, these slightly chubby, pimply faced biker wannabe kids, you know, and now exactly they're like 4 years into it. Yeah, exactly. They're like, okay, yeah, we got ourselves a little bit, and we're not, you know.
Good job,
they're
Alice.
Like, yeah, right? Exactly. But he's like, yeah. He's like, things were bad enough without some amateur one-trick Willie deciding he was going to hat up and take on the bad guys. Of course, that was exactly what Billy Borden had done. But he's done it well, and yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, not in that class week, but they're good. They're keeping their corner. I admire their, yeah, like you say.
Well, and Harry tries to figure out how to sort of warn him without warning him, and
because again, yeah, he's come a long way.
Doesn't want them involved,
but he's still that young.
It could get them in trouble.
Yeah, right. That young, eager. If I tell him, hey, don't do this, it's not safe, he's immediately going to want to do this.
Well, he's bound by Mavra's.
Well, that too, but, you know,
so
but that's...
he can't actually...
No, but that's...
He lets on too much, they'll be like, well, let's just help you.
Exactly, it's that, yeah, it's that catch range that you're right. For Mavra's thing, he can't ask for help and put too much, but at the same time, yeah, if he's just like, oh no, stay out of this, then, you know, Billy's going to be like, we won't leave you, Harry, we will come, you know,
you
and
can't
get...
Leave them totally
right,
so ignorant.
Exactly, right, same as that, you know, every little kid, like, don't look in that room, don't read that note on the mantle. Well, okay.
We said it back in Full Moon, but I think it's worth repeating now, you know, Harry turns 30 in 23 hours. The alphas are not much farther behind him, you know?
Not much.
They're at minimum 22.
They're doing their
and
master's.
Possibly older, right? Yeah, like they're in their master's. So maybe if they went to college immediately at 18 and then 4 years of college, okay, 22. But there's a chance that they're probably closer to more like 24 or 26 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
potentially.
Yeah, yeah, like it's not the, like, you know, children that Harry's yeah. trying to protect.
And yet safe. Life experience. And yeah, then, exactly. Yeah. Even like our, like you say, right, on the one hand, I'm like, it's very easy for me to remember that Harry is still not that old. But at the same time, you're right. Even I often feel that they're, you know, I don't think about that exact chronological age between them. As you're right, he seems to have so much more experience and so much more.
Like the
more
year that they turned into alphas, he was 2 years off of killing Justin Dumorne.
Yeah, right. You know, but like exactly mm-hmm. right. They, I mean, I think it is just a little bit of that difference. Not that it's necessarily like,
I mean, his
sheltered.
Age 2 years.
Yeah, 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 yeah. There is sort of that difference between still being in college and going out and starting work and stuff like that, right? And so that's the difference, right, is that Harry, again, went straight out and went into, I mean, aside just from all the traumatic, crazy bullshit of Justin and everything like that, right? Whereas these guys have still, you know, that sort of jokingness of you're still not experiencing the real world the same way, right?
So Harry does try to, you know, in his most skirt around Marvel's rules as possible, maybe just be behind a threshold for the next couple days.
Yes, thresholds are a healthy
Which
thing.
Is nice advice. If you're going to be that weak about your information, that subtle, vague. That vague, surely the supernatural should just already know, oh, Halloween, yeah, let's not go out right now. Like, I just feel like, first of all, last couple Halloweens in Chicago haven't been great anyways. But just as a general, shouldn't that be when, like, I mean, sure, maybe the night for the occult to be doing the majority of their magic, but I also feel like people in the know should be like, yeah, tonight's, this is the week you don't go out. This is the week you should be hiding. I don't need anyone to tell
like,
me that.
I know a bunch of people, I had a few friends that were always like, New Year's. They don't go out on New Year's because it's just, right, there's so many other people out drinking, doing, you know, they're like, I don't need the party that much. I'd rather stay home and do family stuff or whatever, right? So it's kind of like you say, the supernatural's like, how, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can, and there's some good things to go out and do and have, but you know what? Overall, maybe just don't make that night your night, you know? Like, pick any other night. Yeah.
I just feel like that should not need to have been said. You
yeah.
should just already know. This is not the weekend or the week or whatever the fuck
happened. See, maybe that again is that gentle nudge because you do know. So if he's telling you again, then you know, oh, this isn't just like, eh, whatever. It's like, but oh, you really?
Bach is all like, I got a fucking business to run. And it's like, bro, you work in the supernatural. Like 50% of your library is probably talking about all the bullshit people pull on Halloween. Like...
You just said there's a recession coming, all right? People in box like, I can't even afford that. I may die. I don't know. I may sell the ingredients to start like a world-ending ritual. I don't know. Can't shut my doors, man.
I don't really know a whole lot about him anyways as a character. He could have like some surprise.
Alternate motives or.
Wards or something that nobody really knows about but him.
That's true.
Well, that's true.
We don't know his supernatural affiliations.
Yeah. And Harry does mention that even the store is a little bit warded in this and that. Right, so yeah, like you say, we don't know, but obviously, anyways, from this brief exchange, we do get that Bach knows him well enough and trusts him well enough because he flicks him the key and he's like, oh, do you want to come with me? He's like, yeah, what am I gonna say? You know what I mean? He's like, you know more about this shit than I do, and what am I, yeah, what are you gonna do, steal from me or whatever? Like, either you're not going to, or what could I do if you could, kind of a thing, right? So it's like, yeah, just fucking no, go into the restricted area on your own, Harry. It's fine, just lock it up again when you come out,
yeah.
You know?
I would love to see this place. Like, I love little new agey stores.
Right.
Like, they make me so happy. So this was like, ah, I want to be there. I want to see it.
It's true. She's dragged me into a couple. I've seen her.
Best ones are in Phoenix. Don't ask me why. I don't know why.
Oddly enough, she never took me in any of those ones.
Nope.
It's got all your various whatever.
Tchotchkes and spiritual books.
Alternative religions and decorations and... And lots of interesting things in this restricted area. Everything from, like, first original signed copies of, like, Alice in Wonderland. So it's not even just, like, the dangerous, but, like, the...
Rare.
The rare and the expensive and the fingers off and the...
And McCoy's book on elementary magic.
Like, McCoy, old bugger.
Apparently said to be whatever young wizard starts off with.
Professor McCoy.
Right? A little McGonagall ring to it there.
I'd like to know what central hero sat down and wrote that in. Like, it doesn't really still hold up...
I mean, it's like Dick and Jane, really. You can't go wrong. The basics are the basics are the basics.
Sure,
the original copy is written via Quill and...
Printing presses hadn't made it to America yet.
Self-writing Quill.
Yep.
Love it.
So that is very fun and exciting, although Harry admits he never actually read it because he just had Ebenezer as a teacher.
Yeah.
Which means Justin DuMorne didn't hand it off to him sooner either.
No, but obviously we know DuMorne was doing everything wrong. So that right there just enforces the fact that how fucked up his teachings were, that he didn't even have McCoy's book.
But
he was too petty.
By seeing that too, we actually get to realize that he's still quite affected by McCoy withholding the truth.
Yes, that whole Black Staff drama from last book is still hurting Harry now.
Still present, hasn't forgiven him yet.
Yep. And I do like the back and forth pep talk he has with himself. He's like, he was just trying to protect you, but he fucking never learned to trust you, and he should have done this, and he should have. It's like, yeah, that's fair. It's not. It doesn't feel like too harsh to me one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get over it, and he's trying to like give Ebenezer the out at the same time. He's like, fuck that guy. How dare he?
Yeah.
And you know, I get the betrayal. I understand his upsetness about it.
Right. Yes.
Interesting duality there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of hypocrisy.
A bit of two minds, if you would.
Are you implying something?
I was lucky if Harry has half a mind most of the time, let alone two of them. But.
Speaking of multiple minds, Harry almost kills someone.
Right? This excessive, like, really? Really?
He's such a baby.
I'm gonna pull a gun on you.
Literally.
I work here. I'm sorry.
You're in a regular establishment, Harry. Like, paranoid much, I think he says. Yeah. So, Sheila.
Sheila.
In the back, trying to do some inventory, almost getting murdered.
Take what you want. I won't do anything.
Way to make a first impression. That baffles me about this whole scene here is that Sheila's so willing to be like, yeah, okay, that just happens. Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's you. No, that makes everything good.
Yeah, this is one thing that I like about Sheila.
He pulled a gun on you.
Yeah, right.
This man is volatile.
I guess we already explained what neighborhood they're in, so I guess maybe this is like a normal thing for her. Like, it's only if they actually shoot. If they're like, oh, my bad, then you're just like, oh, okay, cool.
She does this little bit of hero worship thing where she's like, oh, my God, like, you're Harry Dresden. That's so cool. I've been wanting to meet you since I moved here. And like, even when they shake hands, Harry says, oh, I'm not really used to like how people react to my magic. And that's a little bit weird because surely you're shaking hands with people fairly often. And if they're muggles, maybe they just expect it to be like, you know, a static shock or whatever. And sure, maybe high power wizards or other supernatural, even if they are affected, they're not going to show they're affected because they don't want to give you that kind of power. Or simply it's just not affected to them because you're so low level weak to them. But like the fact that Sheila's like, oh my God, you're so strong. And oh my gosh, like you're Harry Dresden. And oh my God, I like that kind of, it very plays into Harry's like, yeah, I am Wizard of Chicago. Bring it up. It's nice to finally feel some respect around this place because he says when he first comes in the beginning of the book, people are either afraid of him because they don't know enough or afraid of him because they do know enough. They think he's crazy because he thinks he's a wizard, or they think he's crazy because they know what he can do as a wizard.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly right. That being the...
Being a good guy for once is like,
thank you. But I was going to say, just, anybody with the power, like you say, right, is they make you, I mean, same thing, you know, like, buddying with, like, a cop or something like that, right? It might make you nervous because you're like, exactly, like, do I want to be neighbors with a cop? Like, oh my God, am I going to get arrested every time my grass grows over? Like, you know what I mean? It's that whole thing of like, yeah, you're there to be good, but you're also like nervous about, you know what I mean, with that much power and whatever, right? It does make you.
I kind of wonder if this is also a little bit of a nod to, like, Harry's magic changing a bit and leveling up even more. Like,
That too is just, you know, as you become more capable and more well-known and reputation precedes you.
Yeah,
and
that whole
so maybe like 3 years ago, that same handshake wouldn't have done the same thing that it did at this moment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, where, he just doesn't meet as many new people now, so he's not getting that same. The gradual change for them has been not enough to be noticeable, and all of a sudden, new people are like, whoa, what the fuck?
Zinging.
I don't know, because because my impression is it only does it when... It's like it doesn't zap muggles.
It's possible. Right? I just feel
it
like
just that supernatural meeting supernatural that you notice.
I don't remember if it's in the Dresden Files or if it's another series or something, but it's just like people instinctively move out of the way of supernatural. It's like you just recognize somewhere, somehow, you've got this instinctual feeling in you that they are a predator and you need to get the fuck out of their way. And so partially like, you know, whether or not there is or isn't anything for them to feel.
Yeah.
I still feel like there's just a little bit of that.
I mean, there's a certain
element. You interpret it in a different way.
I guess. I mean, I definitely think there is an element of that. I don't think it's ever sort of portrayed that way. So you might be thinking
of
a bit different.
Series.
But regardless, yes, it is kind of like you say, he doesn't get many fangirl exchanges, right? It's not very many.
And he deserves them.
Not very often. People are like, oh my God. Exactly, right? They're all like, oh, you can do scary shit. You're Yeah, so it's that whole that lonely at the top thing, you know, like the most popular people have no friends, all that kind of shit, right? He's like, yeah.
Well, the closest he comes kind of is, well, I mean, even like you said, like the whole cops thing is like, you want the cops when you call them. You don't want them any other time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like most of the time when people are coming to his office, they're like, I don't want to talk to you,
this
but
is
you're kind of my last resort.
Yeah.
I need you. It's not really hero worship. It's more just like...
Yeah, not even just, you're the best private investigator I've ever heard of.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So it's a new experience for him on the whole.
A new experience.
Even people like Murphy or Butters, whatever like that, they're just not, that's not their attitude to be like, oh my God, you're the Harry Dresden. Murphy's like, shut the fuck up. You're a loser.
Yeah.
Well, and right. Some of this too is that he's got out of town reputation now too, because she's not from Chicago and she knew
I've been
him.
Wanting to meet you since I got here. Yeah. Like, who's either talking about
so
you
so she
day
knew
one?
About him.
He's a cool guy. What can I say?
Right? I would want to meet him, probably.
There's that reputation thing again.
Maybe 5'6". Which made her practically a foot shorter than me. Fuck you, Harry.
Yeah. I do like, also, sorry, I know I'm bringing up Doctor Who a lot, but that's the only medium consuming right now.
Right.
And in the ninth Doctor in the reboot or whatever like that.
Christopher Eccleston.
This guy's been tracking down Christopher Eccleston and, you know, Rose and Mickey are like, well, who the fuck is this guy? What are we going to do? And they start searching the Doctor. And they come across all this shit about the Doctor. And it's like this some random guy in Essex or Surrey or wherever the fuck it is.
Conspiracy theorist.
some conspiracy theorist has been looking for all this information about the Doctor. And he's got like, and his family's like, he's fucking crazy about it. And he's like, no one understands why I'm obsessed, but look at all this shit. I'd like to imagine that there is just like early 2000s Reddit where it's just like, who is this Harry guy? Why the fuck is he keep showing up at every crime scene and he hasn't been arrested or he's arrested, but he's let go, but he's been at every single one of the crime scenes and he's like...
Right. Some of those guys hiding out in the basements
some
of
random
Chicago that are
weirdo
like...
Weirdo that's just like, what is going on right now? And then Sheila read it one day on a Facebook post, or Facebook didn't exist back then. I don't know what the internet was like in early 2000s. I'd like to think it just didn't exist, but I know it did, but...
Pretty sure
really gross.
The alphas would have known about it, but not Harry.
Really gross, ugly blog... Graphic,
yeah,
they would MS Paint,
forums.
It would have been MySpace.
Yeah. And somewhere out there, it's just like, who is this guy? And Sheila read it and was like, oh my God, he's so cute. I gotta meet him.
So it wasn't I want to say like 2006 or something. 2004, 2006 is when Facebook came around. So I'm pretty sure that exists in the book now.
Like right now.
Yeah.
Or like 2005.
Oh yeah, you said it wasn't 2008 yet. Yeah, I was thinking when you said that earlier, I was thinking like 2008, there's Facebook, but you're right. You're saying, okay, yeah, no, I don't know, maybe not.
I just had visions of like a Rita Skeeter sort of character for Harry's like writing up like gossip on all the
gossip the... on, right,
yeah,
exactly.
It's Halloween 2005 right now.
Every day, okay, 2005, so... So maybe it's either just come out or it's about to come out. Because like I said, now I got to double check. Because like I said, I've got 04 and 06 stuck in my mind.
It would be LiveJournal would have been popular. MySpace would have been still going. Where you write code.
2004.
Thank you. Okay.
But it wasn't accessible unless you were in university. You had to have an education email to use Facebook when it first came out.
Well, it says that 2006, it became available to 13 years old. Right. And then... Obviously, it went through a million changes.
I just know because I had never heard of it. And a friend, I had Bebo, one of my other friends. I'd never even heard of MySpace at the time, I don't think I heard about MySpace until MySpace was dead. And I had this thing and she was like, oh, can you go and like tell? And I'm like, what is this thing? And I went to look and of course, it wouldn't let me see anything. So I had to fucking make an account just so I could look at her thing. Just be like, yeah, sure, this looks fine, I guess. I didn't even know what it went. So I just remember because I was like at work or something like that when she first messaged me. So I'm like, based on where I was working, I know that it was like within this time frame.
It was much.
Oh so, yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend that was out east.
Yeah.
That went to Smith and had an account. So I signed up for it for Facebook with my education email and was like, this is stupid. I'm going back to MySpace.
To MySpace. Yeah.
You fool. You had no idea.
Right. Nobody ever does.
MySpace was way better.
Yeah.
You could have intro music. Somebody looked at your profile. You could have a song that played.
Yeah. Tumblr did that too, and it was awful. Hated it.
Depending, well, yeah, again, I don't want other people's. What I put up is
my
great.
Music is fantastic.
My
music
is fantastic.
Music
the shit
sucks.
That you put on, I don't want to fucking hear it every time I go there. Yeah, exactly, right. So anyways, but yes, but he notes her, as Harry generally notes her.
She has boobs.
Just boobs. She's cute. She looks like she'd be good to cuddle up with. And
he mentions her looks a few times, not just the usual one little blurb, but
man, he comes back more.
And then he comes back to it again.
He's taking some notice.
Well, okay.
And he does make fun of himself.
It's one thing to have a dry spell. It's one thing to have a dry spell when your roommate is having spell.
Right. And as we said, Harry's not even 30 yet, so, you know, presumably there is nothing wrong with his libido, you know, young man in his prime, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's probably got to be hard to constantly
have half-naked
women prancing through your apartment.
His closest thing to a relationship just went to Hawaii with Kincaid.
Yeah. Listen, Anita, you didn't even realize might have been
on the flight with him right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's only been a few hours. I don't know how long it takes to fly from Chicago to Hawaii, but yeah, right? It's possible she hasn't even landed yet. So, yeah, so she's been here 6 months, working at Box for 5. Oh, he works you late. Oh, no, I'm just helping out doing inventory. I just like it. It's, I'm great.
I like Sheila a lot. I liked her a lot.
She's very cute.
Good.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
Yeah.
Right?
And again, that hero worship that Harry deserves.
Right.
It's about fucking time.
Right. And the cute little, inky smudges making it worse while she's trying to fix it or whatever. And, I've seen worse stains, which brings me to the book. You stained a book?
Sacrilege.
Nope, it's a bad segue. She's like, oh, okay. So, yes. So, turns out she's read this obscure German book, too.
And knows the exact location of where it is on the shelf. All two items. Because of her, you know, eidetic memory.
Goddamn eidetic memory.
Photographic memory.
Nice.
Right.
So cool.
So cool. There's a nifty little. So we figure that's her explanation for her little zing of power, right? Like, again, like these little kitchen witches, heart wish, blah, 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 one trick pony. But yeah, hers is, I can remember everything.
That's not a bad one to have.
Not a bad one. There are times, absolutely, positively, that would be, I mean, I guess I'm sure there's a few things where, depending on how it worked, you wouldn't want to remember. But on the whole, yes, I would 100%, hands down, no question, agree to do an eidetic memory.
Yeah, I wish that was for me.
Yeah. Next best thing is I want what they did to Gunn in Angel, where they just, downloaded everything into his brain. Oh, you want to be a lawyer? Okay, here. Boom. You're a lawyer.
The Matrix.
I know kung fu. Show me.
Right? Wow. Yeah. Just insert it all in there. Don't make me go about it the hard way, the confusing way. I just want to understand it and know it now.
And she mentions, there should be two on the shelf. And Harry's like, there's only one. And she's like, we must have sold it. And he's like, no kidding.
He inquires about the price, and it turns out that it's well above his budget. And Sheila and Harry quasi flirt a little bit before he goes and talks to Bach about the book, and
he
takes a check for it for our younger
our
younger listeners. That's a piece of paper that is like a banknote.
Still on the cusp of
The only thing only checks I ever used were for rent, and that's about it. And the only time I've ever used a check.
Which, consequently, is half of what this book costs.
Right.
It's right there. Fucking half a month's rent just for...
Gross.
Ugh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what your rent is. Half a month's rent is sufficient price for anybody.
Right.
Right?
Minimum $400, I gotta say. Minimum.
Each.
So, yeah. He's like,
don't
can I write... Right?
Can I bring it back after Halloween?
But yes, from him. So now you can still, there are a few things where you can still submit checks for, but virtually everywhere has become check-free for the obvious reason, because
checks are stupid.
You could easily bounce a check. And a lot of people did, whether purposely or not purposely. But for you, right? Again, this is a little nod to their relationship. Yeah, he's like, I know you. I trust you. I'll take a check from you. Eventually it'll,
I read it more as anything that gets you the fuck out of my store ASAP.
Well, maybe a little bit of both. I trust you and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
See, not yet. I think, we get to that in a minute here. But at this point, I don't know if he's necessarily trying to rush him out yet.
Well, we know that the rest of the crowd is left now because of Harry.
It's too late now. They're already gone.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yes, you're right. There was...
Again, we've seen this sort of thing before, Max.
Did I run out your customers? Maybe. So, But again, which goes back to this whole thing of that reputation of, like you say, right? He's a good guy. He does good things, but we don't really know. And he's still kind of a scary dude. So
that's what I'm saying, though. When we had that moment at McAnally's when he was going to meet with the Red Court, Duke Ortega, right? He came in and told everyone. He's like, listen, guys, shit's going down. There's a meeting happening tonight. You might want to leave, right? And people had some questions or whatever. And he tried to be, you know, as much forthcoming as he could possibly be in that moment, too, right? But yes, we're not equipped to handle this. We need to go. I imagine when you get the reputation that Harry has, anytime he shows up anywhere, okay, I'm not equipped for this anymore. Like, wherever Harry is, I don't want to be.
I do view that as slightly separately because, yeah, there's a difference between all the times Harry goes in there just to get a steak. I don't think every time he show. I mean, now it's starting to get, as we progress, maybe it's, every time Harry shows up, trouble follows him. But before that, you know, I think that's different. There he was like, I am specifically, there's people coming in for a meet, you guys go, as opposed to, I'm literally just here to do my shopping and pick up a book. There's no reason for everybody to be like, oh my God, Harry walked in, everyone run away.
And this is probably a bit of a different crowd that attends because it's a bookstore. It's academia, kind of.
Yeah.
That as opposed to somebody just having a beer, which probably don't care as much because they've
50-50.
Got a beer and a steak sandwich.
Part of me is like a supernatural crowd is a supernatural crowd. They only have so many places to go, you know? But also, yes, there is that differentiation, maybe an age difference too. Not everyone can get into Max yet.
They're all the old crusty chess players.
The people at Box are a lot smarter than the people that go to McAnally's.
Finding one that has to rock around in Book's Box store.
Right, but
yes.
Yeah, but he tries to ask anyways. He's like, apparently, you know, you had another copy up until recently or whatever.
Some old guy.
Want to tell me who bought it?
Spots got it.
And yeah, he gets a very vague. Yeah.
Did he look like the Crypt Keeper?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Loose skin. So he's like, and then he's just like, look, I just run the shop, okay? He's like, I don't want to get involved with anything. I have no idea who the guy was. Just a customer.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, that's all I can tell you is, some old guy came and bought the book. Whatever. A couple days ago.
Apparently Harry's too into this conversation because Sheila has to get his attention to be like, bitch, can you look out the window, please?
Stuff's happened.
Trouble's a-brewing.
Yeah.
And, like, this whole Box just being, like, so uneasy and just be like, what is up, dude? Like, can you please leave already? You are being so weird. You're bringing all this trouble. Just get out of my store.
Yeah, and even that just seems kind of, because you're like, Harry hasn't really done anything. Like,
I came to buy a book. What the fuck?
Right? And again, it's like, just like we were saying, it's like you obviously, like, know you have enough of a relationship that you're just like, oh yeah, go back there by yourself, check out what you need, I don't need to go with you, yeah, I'll take a check from you, kind of, right? But at the same time, exactly, it's like, but there's also this other level of, like, unease, and just like, hey, you're done,
okay,
like,
go,
you're asking
mom.
Questions, like, yeah, some guy bought the book, okay, just go, right? Like, so yeah, kind of that duality again of, like, I like you and we're friends and we're buddies, but all of a sudden I'm really uncomfortable and don't want you here, right? It's like, what's that about?
Yeah.
I'm like,
and Harry's going back and forth between Bach and Sheila, and Bach's just getting more and more and more uneasy, and he's just like, what, dude? What the fuck?
Making Lord of the Ring jokes.
Two mysterious figures out on the sidewalk just staring into the shop, which is kind of creepy. And again, like you say, given the nature of the shop and the timing and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, although actually the timing would be worse. I'm like, everybody's got to be running around in Halloween costumes. There's got to be parties all over the place if it's Halloween some more. Yet at the same time, these two guys just standing there staring at the bookstore I just happen to be in right now. They're like, I don't think this is a couple college kids.
And Harry does very fairly call himself out. I have toppled four buildings in the last couple of years. It's fair for an establishment to not want me to be around. Shady shit.
Yeah, why?
I'm
maybe
like, yes,
Bach.
I appreciate the self-awareness there, Harry, because yes, you have.
Right. He's like, wait a minute.
I do like that he does try to keep it light, too, though. He's like,
It was a Tolkien joke.
I made one Tolkien joke, and it did not go over very well. I think I've told you this story before. When I first interviewed for the IT company that I work for, they asked me if I knew what a token ring was. And I was really green and had no idea. And I looked at them and I said, I don't know. Do I throw it into a volcano? And they didn't crack a smile. They didn't acknowledge it. They just looked at
me. Which, come on, Damn, they were IT nerds. That should have been the perfect place for a Tolkien joke, right? Like, really? You guys don't know this nerdy ass?
Well, I told Vince later, and he's like, no, that's very funny. I was like, yeah, but didn't it land? Like, wet cement. Fortunately, they did not hold it against me, and
I got the job.
10 years later, I'm still there.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, an IT person with a bad sense of humor. Yep, Jack.
Phew.
Whew, you'll fit right in. I'm just kidding. So he decides that, yeah, Kate.
He'll go out and talk to him.
Maybe you better close up for the night. Bok's like, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Bye.
Thanks a lot, asshole.
And scene. Yeah. I had wreck three. No, wait, four? Four buildings.
To be fair, like, two of them were owned by Marcone, so.
Really? I was doing a public service.
Exactly.
This concludes our episode 13.7, A Woolly Chamath. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by adventure and risk.